that have done some awful things in their life. I don't know about you, but I would say I've done some awful things in my life. But the hardest thing that people have to believe is that God would actually forgive them, and I mean wipe it away, and that they would, and that God would look at them exactly as the same as a person that supposedly lived a really good, righteous life their whole life, which I think is awesome. If you've been raised up in the truth of God and the power of God, and you stay on that path of grace, isn't that wonderful? But I love that for us that haven't and made some big mistakes, right, that God's blood washes it in such a way that I'm no different than that person. I think of the prodigal son, amen? So when the prodigal son came back after playing the fool, wouldn't you say he played the fool? And when God came back, did God say, okay, we've got to get a list of things you've got to say sorry to for me? This and this and this and this. And there's homes that are that way. You're gonna say sorry for everything you've done to me. And I'm not saying there isn't a place and a time for that. But what I'm saying is the father, when he saw his son, he was overjoyed. He was back home. No mention about all his foolish nonsense, which was plenty, but he was so glad to have his son back. Aren't you glad if you, I know what it's like to be a prodigal son, or maybe you know what it's like to be a prodigal daughter, maybe yes or no, but aren't you glad to be in a position where God has forgiven you of everything in the past? And you can move forward with him with a completely 100% conscience. And the thing that I notice with so many people, they'll say, but I can't forgive myself. And what I've come to realize, when you start laying out the grace of God and the goodness of God, then they have a choice. I've seen it. There's no more excuses now. You can follow him. So now the question is, do you really want to follow him? Or do you want to still have the excuses and the things that they don't realize that they may be used to buffer them between them and God? But when all of that by grace is removed, then you can make a decision. Either I want to follow him or I don't. And I'm so glad that I made a decision to follow him. How about you? And that many others are doing that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for this evening. In other countries, before I get going, you know, they'll do communion, but they've got to have somebody at the door watching. Somebody coming. Is somebody spying on us? Or are we going to be busted? There's many places in the world that are like that. I remember the time where Pastor Lee was in Cuba, and he was in a meeting, and it was underground, and there was this guy there in a kind of dress in a suit coat, but he was very skinny. It was just hanging on him, and he's worshiping the Lord, and there's tears coming down his eyes. And I remember Pastor Lee asking another pastor that was there, was this guy sick or does he have AIDS or something? And the guy said, oh, no, he just got out of prison. He's been there 5 years for the gospel. 5 years for the gospel. And as he was back at that underground church with his hands lifted up, worshiping, and just tears coming down his face. Wow. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you and I still to stand up for the gospel. Amen. To stand up for the truth. To stand up for Jesus Christ. To say he's the way, the truth, and the life. Do you want to follow him? How he loves you. How he loves you. Amen. Amen. John session 25. And we're on chapter 4. And we're getting towards the end. Amen. We're going to get into another great chapter soon. And verse 43 says, and after the 2 days, he departed from there for Galilee. So where had he been? He'd been in Samaria, right? He'd been in the Samaritan village. Remember, we spent quite a few weeks there. What a powerful, powerful account of the woman at the well, and so much more that's there than just meeting this woman at the well that we spent, I don't know, I think maybe 4 weeks just with the woman at the well. And so do you have that? John, if you don't have that map, okay. So I just want to show this map. So he was in Judea, right? And he's headed for Galilee. So that's where we're in the end of the chapter, and I think into chapter 5, Jesus is going to be in Galilee. So that's where he went into Samaria. And so he's headed through there. So I just wanted to show you a map. Perea, Jesus had gone to Perea. Decapolis, he'd been in there. Those are just areas that Israelites lived there, but they were mixed with a lot of Gentiles. There was Jews, but there was a lot of Gentiles there too. And so Jesus had actually gone to those areas a little bit as well. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. And so the Samaritan experience must have been more than crazy for the disciples. Remember, I mentioned all that if you've been here the last few weeks or some of the things that I'd mentioned. I just want to mention, I'm not going to go back through all of that for time's sake, but the disciples were probably quite confused when they spent a couple days camping out with the Samaritans, right? That wouldn't have been what their mindset would have been. They probably, during that whole time, they left there going, what just happened? We don't spend any time with them. We don't even talk to them. And we've got them coming and believing in the Lord Jesus by the droves. By the droves. And remember, I mentioned last week that even the scripture I'd pulled out that said that even all the things that the disciples had seen in the ministry of Jesus, they remained hardened of heart. Isn't that amazing? Hardened of heart even with everything they had seen. Now, we know that when he rose from the dead and the day of Pentecost and the power of God and everything they experienced up to that point, things changed drastically for their hearts, right? But during this time that they walked with Jesus, let me just say this again. They loved the miracles. They loved what Jesus had to say. But the number one thing on their mind was what? When are these Romans going to get their rear end kicked? When is the battle? When is the war? And we could go into a lot of that. We have from time to time. And there's a spiritual concept for us today on that. Because much of the time, I still have an attitude like, man, I'm ready for war. Everything I see going on, I can't help it. If I get too much in the news, I'm wanting to beat that war drum. Does anybody relate to that? And so in half of the heart of the Lord, I know you don't, Marcus, of all people here, you don't. But understanding that too, I love that point where Jesus said, raise your eyes and look at the fields that are ready for harvest. And where were they when Jesus said that? A horde of Samaritans coming at them. So when they looked at that, they're thinking, what? Those are our enemies. Anyway, I won't go over that again. I chewed on that for a few days. Because you put yourself in the place where Jesus and those disciples are, and where they were at, and the power that Rome had over them, and how they felt, and waiting for their Messiah. You know, in some ways, it's the same way. Did you know that? We're saying the same thing. Jesus, when are you coming back? See, they were waiting for his first coming, and they were saying, Jesus, when are you coming? You and I, it even says the earth is groaning for the return of the Messiah. So we know he came the first time. We know he's coming back a second time. Amen? So within our hearts is saying, Lord, when are you coming back? We love you. We're praying for family, the things. I mean, but this world ain't that great, right? I've said it before. I love what Keith Green said. Hey, if it took God 6 days to make this earth, and he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years, we're living in a garbage can. I didn't say it. Keith Green did. So our heart also longing, if you think about it, longing for the return of the Messiah. Everything that we see, obviously we fight for truth. We want people to believe in truth. We want people to give their lives to Jesus. But yet there's a longing inside of us saying, man, enough of the nonsense. Lord Jesus, when are you coming back? Oh, I long to see his face. Do you, saints? As sure as you and I are standing here today, we will see his face one day. Everything, every struggle, every pain, every temptation that you say, no, thank you. Man, there's one day you're going to say, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory. And all the times where we did struggle and he forgave us and he still forgave us and helped us in all our weaknesses, even then he's still with us. Amen? So that experience. And then John 14, 25 and 26, they'll come back. So these things that they're experiencing now with Jesus, they don't understand. But he says to them in John 14, 25 and 26, these things I have spoken to you while remaining with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I have said to you. Amen. And you know, just like you and I, we can go through some things that we don't quite understand here. But down the road, there may be a time where God reveals those situations to you. We walk by faith, amen, not by sight. We don't understand some of the things that we face and we go through now, but we ask for God to give us wisdom and understanding and trust him. And down the road, we can look back and say, oh, how much I learned in trusting you there. I didn't quite understand it. Even Paul said, man, we're perplexed. We're knocked down, but we're not destroyed, amen? We are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even when we feel like we're getting knocked down mentally or emotionally, amen, we get back up. You ever had days you're like, golly, what's going on? I'm sure I'm not the only one. But even then, the next day, the Holy Spirit, his mercies are new every morning. We get back up. We feel like we've been knocked down, but we definitely have not been destroyed. Amen? We are more than ever overcomers through him that loves us. Oh, how he loves you and I. And so for Jesus, in verse 44, Jesus says, for Jesus himself testifies that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now, why is he saying this in verse 44? Because he's headed to his hometown, right? He's headed back to where he was raised. He was headed back where the people knew him. And so I want to go down a little vein real quick on that for, again, that verse. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So let's look at other things that he said regarding a prophet or himself elsewhere. So Jesus speaks elsewhere about prophets in Matthew 23 through 29 through 36. Let me just read this. So he's talking to the Pharisees, right? So woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, Jesus says, hypocrites, for you build the tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous. And you say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. It's verse 31. So you testify against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You snakes, you offspring of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Wow. This is Jesus talking to them. So he's talking, who's he talking to? The religious leaders. So he's talking to those that said, we wouldn't have taken part of that. And Jesus says, well, you're saying that you're related to them. And Jesus was hard on them. He doesn't call these individuals children of Abraham, did he? He doesn't call them children of Isaac. He doesn't call them children of Jacob. He doesn't call them part of the 12 tribes of Israel. He actually calls them snakes and offsprings of vipers. Wow. See, they had this form of godliness. I don't want to go too far ahead of myself. So he says, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Now, we know some of those people turned to Christ, amen? Some of them, even after Jesus rose from the dead, you read in the book of Acts that they had given their lives to Jesus Christ. So even these people here that were looking for the Messiah, he was pointing at them saying, man, you're not children of Abraham. And why was it? It was because of the way they believed. Religion can get so much in the way and blind somebody, amen? Blind, they said, it's going to have to be Jesus, the Messiah coming, is going to have to look like this. It's going to have to fit in this box. He's going to have to show up with great pompous. He's going to have to show up on the scene and automatically destroy Rome. And so he's talking about what he's saying to prophets. He continues. Therefore, behold, he continues. Jesus prophesies what the Pharisees would do to the first church now. Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you will fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, which you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Wow. So Jesus coming and what he was going to do. You know, AD 70, Israel was destroyed, and we've never had a temple again. Amen. What God is saying is now is for man to be made right with God, it has to become through Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, whether you're religious or you don't have any religious background, coming to Christ will have to be, or coming to God will have to become through Jesus Christ. I think of Isaiah, that great prophet. I love the book of Isaiah. But you know that they say that Isaiah, at the end of his life, he didn't die a natural death. He was sawn in two. Wow. Jeremiah is said to have been stoned to death in Egypt. That one blows me away, because he prophesies what was going to happen to Israel in the book of Jeremiah. It happens, and they know it, and they say, what you said came true, and they still, even at the end, stoned Jeremiah. So of all the apostles, tradition has it that only John died of natural causes. The rest of them were crucified or killed. Amen? There's been a great price paid to get this gospel going. Isaiah, who prophesied of Jesus, paid the ultimate cost, giving his life. Amen. Jeremiah, the apostles that started, those people who started the first church, that wrote the letters for the New Testament, man, they paid the ultimate price and cost for you and I. Amen. You know, I think about it that someday that I could be a peer or somebody in a pulpit, and if we say certain things that don't agree with some of the things in the government or people, individuals could be thrown in prison. If things don't change in this country, I'm telling you, there'll come a time where people won't listen to it. They won't even allow you to speak it. And it came to the point, even during the time of Jeremiah, Isaiah, even to the point of Jesus Christ, they said, we don't want to hear what you want to say. Brothers and sisters, I want to have a heart that says, Lord, I want the truth. And I want to walk in the truth. I want to walk in the love of God, the truth of God. I want to have a heart that says, Lord, correct anything you want in my heart or life. I don't want to have ears that are plugged, eyes that are closed in any way. I want to have a heart wide open, Father God, to what you would want to say to your church and your people in this day and age. I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to be stiff-necked. I don't want to be hard-hearted. Amen. I want to walk in his grace and his love, and I want my heart to be pliable. Lord, what do you want to do? Change those things. I belong to you. Amen. Do you agree with that, saints? Oh, how he loves you and I. Matthew 23:37, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Jesus, who kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Man, why did they kill the prophets? Okay, it was because of a form of godliness, but there was no repentance. You know, in some ways, things haven't changed. Mankind doesn't change, by the way. Did you know that? In our own ways, we're still barbaric. Mankind is still born needing a savior. Mankind is still born wanting to serve themselves, be a god unto themselves, like it says in Romans chapter 1. So it was the thing is that they didn't want to hear what was being said. Even under the dispensation of grace, things haven't changed. 2 Timothy 4:2-4. It says, preach the word. He's talking to Timothy. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instructions. I want to stop right there and say this, that it's not me that corrects, rebukes, or exhorts, it's the Holy Spirit. See, I can be preaching something and God, and it's not coming in a harsh tone. It's not coming condemning, but the Holy Spirit could be speaking to you for a correction in your heart. Amen? And we want to be a people that says, Lord, anything you want to correct or change. I hit this often, saints, because I'm telling you, we're in a day and age that if we're not careful, there's people that are being blinded to see and to thinking that you can do what you want, act any way you want. You can oppose God. That's not the grace of God. Amen. You can be a God hater. There's no price to pay. You can be rebellious against parents. You can do whatever you want. You can be rebellious against law and order, and that there's no price to pay, that it's okay. And there's always a price to pay for that in our life. Or in society, in society. We see that going on now, amen? We really do. So when he says, preach the word, he says, with great patience and instruction. So this is Paul, for the New Covenant, says, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That means they'll turn a myth, meaning that they're okay with the form of godliness. They're okay with doing things. You can have communion. You can go out and help the poor. You can do all these things of acts of religion, but there's no changing of the heart by the Holy Spirit. So they heap things that they want to hear. Tell us what we need to do to be right with God. You tell me what we need to do. What are the actions? What can we do? What kind of list can we put together to have a heart that'll be right with God? But they don't realize it's just itching ears. They're not wanting to hear the truth of the gospel. They're not wanting to hear about repentance at all. They're not wanting to hear anything but what they, it itches and tickles their ears. Something that says, yeah, that sounds good. Tell me those things. See, and it's not, I used to think that was just living a lifestyle opposed to God, but now I understand that people love hearing religious stuff. Give me some religious activity, form of godliness. Let me have a form of godliness. So it's not just a lifestyle of doing what I want. Oh, we can be busy doing things that may look righteous and holy, but it's all self-works effort. It has nothing to do with faith, trust, a pliable heart by the Holy Spirit, belonging to Him, being wooed by Him, having Him yielding to Him, yielding to His voice. No, the only voice they yield to is the voice of the flesh and the voice of man's wisdom. See, man's wisdom has a way. There's a way that seems right to a man. You know that scripture, but in the end, what it leads to, destruction, death. There's a way that seems right in ourselves. Do you remember your life before you knew the Lord? Maybe some of you. God wasn't even on your radar. You didn't think about right or wrong, life or death necessarily, amen? And then all of a sudden the Lord began to open your eyes and you began to be aware of that. You know, there's many people they'll go an inch, they'll be aware of something that God is touching their heart. They'll say, nope, no more of that. No more of that. And then they'll go back to just hearing things that are pleasing to the ear. Saints, I want to say that I'm not saying anything to try to bring you, to make you to feel down tonight in any way, shape, or form. What I'm just repeating is what Paul had said. And in the time of Jesus, where he's talking about all these prophets in the past being killed or stoned, and them even taking Jesus, the Son of God, crucifying him because they're saying, we don't like what you have to say. Amen. Aren't you glad that you love the truth? And aren't you glad you love the truth? I remind myself, say, Lord, thank you, I love the truth. Thank you for helping me to understand the truth. Lord, help me for any areas that are in my heart, that are mine, that are deceived, bringing those into the light. Did you know it's okay to ask those things to yourself? Did you know it's okay to encourage yourself in those things and say, Lord, thank you for not allowing me to believe lies? To come to the point where a nation that was started by God would kill all its prophets and then finally would kill the Son of God. Amen? So they said yes to religious form of godliness, no to repentance and grace. Correct, rebuke, and exhort, meaning the Holy Spirit won't be leading their lives. The flesh, the mind, and the will, and the emotions will be the voice that they heed to. People can think they're hearing a voice from God, and it's just their mind. It's just their emotions. It's just their flesh. And people will think that's the Holy Spirit. Well, I've come to learn that the difference is when it's the Holy Spirit, it always leads in the path of love. It always leads in a path where I don't have to justify myself. Amen. You ever been there? Amen. If you've ever been married, or if you are married, did you know if you live a life of just being having to be justified, it's going to get ugly. Amen. But yielding, amen, being led by His love, being led by His truth. Amen. As I was praying today, as I was just back and forth from work and taking time in my vehicle, just praying in the Spirit and worshiping and saying, Lord, I want to be led by your love. Lord, I don't want the day-to-day stuff that seems to always want to harden me a little bit. Does anybody understand? It wants to harden me. And the fight against that hardening me is I continue just to worship him and say, Lord, I belong to you. Father, I want to walk in your love. I'm not here to prove how right I am, or how smart I am, or whatever the case is, Lord. I'm here to prove, Lord, to show the world that I belong to you. Amen. Amen and amen. Their own desires. Lord, thank you that says the Word of God says he gives us the desires of our heart. You know, our heart belongs to him. He loves fulfilling the desires of our hearts. Did you know that? He loves those things in our life where he just submit to him and he changes our desires, and then desires start bubbling up and he says, hey, this is what I placed in you. Things that he placed in us before we were even born. Amen. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him only because they had seen. This is amazing. So he's in his hometown, right? So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him only because they had seen all the things that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves also went to the feast. I want to go back to another scripture that gives a little more detail of what we're talking about here. So they only received him. I wonder what that meant if they weren't going to receive him. Were they going to drive him out of the town? Were they going to say, you weren't welcome here? But they said they had seen his miracles, so they thought, well, maybe, you know, he'll do another show for us. Maybe he'll do another magic show for us. Maybe he'll do things that we can clap and say, ooh, and awe. Matthew 13, 53 and 58 says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, with the result that they were astonished and said, where did this man acquire this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son and his mother, and is his mother not called Mary, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not with us? Where then did this man acquire all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is dishonored except in his hometown and his own household. I mean, a prophet is not dishonored. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So they took offense of him. Amen. They knew him. They had grown up with him. You know, if Jesus had been playing Little League baseball, did you know he would not have been hitting a home run every time he got up? We think of perfection, God's perfection, but that doesn't mean that when he was raised that he didn't learn to do things, right? He was perfect. So when he played T-ball, if he would have played T-ball, does that mean he would have hit a home run every time he got up to bat? No. Someone would have had to show him how to hold a bat. Someone would have had to show him how to swing. Someone would have had to show him how to sharpen his skill in baseball. He was perfect. He never sinned. But he had to grow up and learn skills and do things like a regular human being. When he would work with his dad in carpentry, his dad had to show him the skill of being a carpenter. Amen? So they were saying, we know you. We saw you strike out, or you didn't hit a home run. We saw you hit it right to shortstop. We've seen your family. And we know your son. We know your brothers. We know them real well. And so they took offense at him. So they knew his family, his brothers, his sisters. Some had seen Jesus grow up. And so what can keep you and I from receiving, by the way? You know, we know about pride. God opposes the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Ask in faith without doubting. God won't, you know, we have this thing, God won't answer me for any reason, but God loves us, right? He loves us. We can focus on the messenger, and that's what they did with Jesus. They focused on the messenger instead of the message, amen? We can become to know one each other, know each other so much that we would know each other's weaknesses. Did you know that? And you know that can cause where we don't receive from each other anymore. And so in seeing Jesus' family's weakness, they said, we don't know where he, and I hate to say it this way, but this is how they treated it. We don't know where he got this magic show, but we know him. And it says they were offended at him. You know, we can glamorize sometimes people that we see on television. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with television ministries, but I'm telling you, there is no true deep growth from just observing television ministry. And I've received a lot of things from different TV ministries. I remember an individual came to me and they said, hey, I have this set of teachings I want you to listen to. And I started listening to them, and I went back to that person. I said, man, we learned this 5 years ago. We've heard that many. Are you just hearing this? Where have you been? And you know, the truth of the matter is, what it came down to was familiarity breeds contempt. And so they didn't have a heart that was open to receive from the body. See, they could never serve in the body or really be a part of the body. And so those messages that went out week after week after week because of whatever was going on in their hearts and their lives, they weren't receiving. And so when they said, hey, man, I want you to hear this, I'm like, great, but where have you been? Where have you been? And I just realized in this individual's life that they could come, but they were never really a part. So we can glamorize things, and then we don't receive. Amen. There's some things. That's what's wonderful about the Holy Spirit. He will show us the things in our lives that can keep us from receiving. Amen. We can all go through little things in our lives where it's tough to receive, whether it be on a Sunday morning or in your personal time with the Lord Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is always faithful to show us what can keep us from receiving from him. And that some of those things where we don't want to be like Jesus, where we become offended with one another, or things that we can't receive. It's amazing to me that Jesus did all those miracles, and it's the only reason why they even received him into their town. Isn't that amazing? His teaching and the miraculous powers, and they still had a heart that said, I don't want anything to do with that. Amen. That's good. If you want to stand up with me, we won't keep going. I'm sorry we didn't make it through chapter 4. Do you love him? Amen. Aren't you? Could we lift our hands and just say, Lord, we want to be receivers from you. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal in our lives anything, Lord, that would hinder us receiving your goodness. Lord, that would hinder us from receiving a soft heart, Father God, or anything that would keep us in, that can keep us hindered, Lord, with being upset or things that are discouraged, or those things that can come against our hearts that can actually set in. And Lord, those things that can set in where we can become angry, we can be frustrated. And before you know it, man, we're living day after day in frustration, in fear, in anger, in resentment. And so, Father, right now we ask in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, God, because you love us so much, that we belong to you, Lord. But, Lord, that we would say, Lord, I receive from you, Lord. Show me anything that would hinder, Lord, anything that would cause hardness, Lord. I belong to you, and I want to accomplish and do everything that you've called me to do, everything that you've set in my heart for purpose, Lord. I don't want any hindrance to get in the way of that, Lord. I thank you for blessing their relationships. Those that are married, Lord, we thank you for blessing the relationship in marriage. Father, thank you for blessing relationships with children in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for blessing relationship between kids and parents, Lord, nephews and nieces, our friends. Lord, we thank you for blessing our relationships, Father God. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we belong to you. Lord, that we want time. We want to be able to receive times of refreshing, Lord. We want to have a heart that receives times of refreshing, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you for times of refreshing, Lord. Not only tonight, but Lord, in the nighttime, in our sleep, Father God. We thank you for dreams and visions in the name of Jesus. Father, during the daytime, we thank you for scriptures jumping out on the page into our hearts, Father God. We thank you for a wind of the Holy Spirit, Father, bringing times of refreshing and healing and tears and joy and strength and peace. And we receive that from you, Father. We receive that from you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, in the name of Jesus, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Lord, we thank you. We don't have ears that are just wanting to hear whatever pleases us, Lord, but we have hearts to say, Lord, anything that you want to do in my heart and my life, I'm open for. And we thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, we pray. Amen.